Well, let's talk about letters to Judy, what your kids wish they could tell you.
That's my real title. That's my title, what your kids wish they could tell you. Letters to Judy is their title.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, well, you managed to get both?
Well, yes, I guess we have to. It makes it sound, though, like it's all letters, and of course it's not all letters.
What is a Kids Fund project?
The Kids Fund is a small foundation that I started in 1981, my way of giving back to the kids a little bit of what they've given to me. We fund programs that help kids in some way deal with the realities of their everyday lives.
Can you be more specific?
Yes. What you asked, what is a Kids Fund project? Mm-hmm. And this book is a Kids Fund project. All of the royalties, my royalties from this book will go to the Kids Fund directly, and that will fund the new programs.
Okay, now tell me about some of those programs.
Oh.
That's all right, you're not on one span.
I forget, this is our fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Programs dealing with the prevention of teenage pregnancy, with sexuality education, with kids coping with divorce, latchkey children, books as bridges between parents and kids, library programs involving books, and just so many.
Well, in what way do these you touched on a number of themes that are troubling to children, but in what specific ways do you help them with the fund?
In other words, people apply to the Kids Fund for a grant of anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, and they present a program that deals in some way with children or parents and children.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fund a number of programs every year.
Okay, now what are some of those programs exactly?
The exact titles?
No,
that I just talked about the kinds of programs.
Yeah, but those are the kinds of problems that children have. But how do the programs themselves deal with these children? Do they deal with counseling the children or establishing homes or what?
No. Well, some of it is counseling. A program called Kids in the Middle, which deals with children coping with their parents' divorce, is certainly a counseling program. It's run by professional counselors, and children can come there and talk about their problems. In a school in South Carolina, a teacher already had a program established where she was using books that the children were going to be reading during that year and helping the parents deal with some of the subjects in those books so that if the kids had questions, they could come to their parents and their parents would be ready and willing to discuss the subjects so that the parents wouldn't be as fearful about what they were reading. And in that school district, they never had any censorship problems at all because the parents didn't have anything to be afraid of. And it also helped them talk to the kids. Some are weekend retreats, bringing mothers and daughters or fathers and sons or other combinations of family groups together for the weekend to talk about sexuality so that the parent could become the sexuality educator of the child. You've really gotten me off guard
because it's
hard for me because we funded so many and I have never seen any of them in an operation. I'm going to see the first one. I've tried to stay in the background, but I'm going to see the first one on this tour that I'm about to make, and I'm excited about it. It's the Baltimore Council on Adolescent Pregnancy Parenting and Pregnancy Prevention, and that is a group of high school and college students who travel around to libraries and schools and through drama get information to the kids, get them aware, answer their questions.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay.
But I hope I have. I was interested in the kinds of programs.
Another one, it varies every year. There seems to be a lot of one kind of program that's looking for funding. And last year, it was certainly the prevention of child abuse. Trying to reach young parents who perhaps were abused themselves, the most likely candidates then to become abusive parents,
yes.
and make them aware and help them through this. We had a lot of requests for those programs last year. We tried to vary not only geographically, but in the kinds of programs that we fund.
And Judy Blume, as I was reading your book, another book came to mind. It was a book called Miss Lonely. It wasn't a book, I guess it was a short story by Nathaniel West called Miss Lonely Hearts. I don't know if you read it, but it dealt with a columnist who was a man, and he, in his newspaper column, answered the complaints of obviously disturbed people and got caught up in their misery. And it was a very sad story. And as I was reading the letters in Letters to Judy, I had the same feeling. I wondered what was going on in your mind as you opened the mail and you read these letters. How did you feel as you saw these young people struggling with these problems? And in a way, you almost probably felt helpless. But I don't know. What? Tell me about this. Tell me about your reaction over a period of time to these letters.
Well, I react very emotionally to them, but I suppose that's because I'm a very emotional person. And I have, from time to time, gotten caught up, very caught up, in their lives. Most people only write to me once. Even when I write back, they're satisfied somehow to know that there was somebody there reading their letter and caring enough to write back. The kids that I've written to for a period of years, I do get caught up in their lives. There's one I worry about a lot.
In this book?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was one letter from a young woman toward the end who I can't remember the letter now, but I believe it was still questioned about whether or not she might someday be a suicide, and so her whole life had not been resolved. Now, you say you wrote, in most instances, a response and never wrote again, but in some cases, of course, in your book, there are several letters where you have been, in effect, pen pals over a period of time. Does it help, I wonder? It must help, even though you can't talk directly with the children, but manifest your response on paper, but it obviously must help, you know?
The professional therapists that I've talked to about it tell me that, and many of the children themselves, that what makes them feel better is just the very act of writing it down and sending it out, somehow getting it out, not being able to say it to anyone, and instead those who can put their feelings into words and into a letter and send it out. It's helpful to them just to do that.
Have you ever met with any of the children who have written you?
I've never met with them, no. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit nervous about doing it because I think that would change the relationship. There is one young woman that I've written to for 7 years. She is my longest correspondence. And she's now in college, and we both feel that we want to meet now, and it's okay to meet. She shared her life with me for a long time, but when she was younger, she would write 5 or 10-page letters, and she would say, "I hope you don't mind how long it is, but I use you the way I would use a diary, and the reason I send all of this to you is I don't want my mother to read my diary." So I serve, I think, that purpose for many kids. I need to get this out, and I'm going to send it off to her.
Mothers always read the diaries.
I would like to tell you no, but I don't know any mother who has it. I've only done it once, and I vow that I would never, ever do it again.
Do you answer all the letters? You must receive a bundle. Do you answer
Well, I get
all
about 2,000 letters a month. No, there's no way that I could do that. Every child who writes gets a brochure back, mm-hmm. which I know is disappointing to many of them. But all of the letters that come from deep inside, the kinds of letters in this book, I do answer. And only recently have I discovered why I'm not nearly as productive in my fiction writing as I used to be. And it's because I'm spending at least half my workday answering letters.
Well, with 2,000 letters a week, you can't...
A month.
A month, I'm
yes.
sorry. Well, that's still... That's
a lot of mail.
Oh, my goodness. Still, that's almost more... Do you read them all? You can't read them all either, can you?
I can't read them all myself. I have just one trusted person who loves kids a lot, and she can separate them. A lot of the 2,000 letters, I have to tell you, are school letters, and that's a whole other thing. You know, let's all write to Judy Blume and tell her how much we liked her book. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind of letter. We're talking about the unsolicited letters that children just sit down and write.
When did it enter your mind that some of these letters might be something that you could use in a book to show the things that children are concerned about in their lives and how you responded to them?
I've thought about it for a long time because when I give talks to teachers or librarians or any professionals or adults who work with children, I have always used the children's letters, excerpts from the children's letters, to make my points, because the letters do it so much better than I could by just telling somebody something. And for years, people have come up to me and say, it would be wonderful if you would put them in a book. And I said, never. And it wasn't until, I suppose, about 5 years ago that I thought, the time is right, and I should do this now. And I, when I finished Smart Women, I knew that would be my next project. And it's been 2.5 years of work.
I noticed one thing, that as you responded to many of the letters in the book, you did not respond specifically, but in a more general way. Why did you decide to take that approach?
I didn't include my own letters to the children. Is that what you mean?
Well, when a child responded with a very specific problem, rarely did you address that one child's problem. In fact, some of the letters, the problems are very similar.
I'm not really qualified to give advice. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist, sociologist, social worker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm none of those things. I'm simply a person who, for some reason, has people writing to her. And so my response to the kids is very rarely specific. I try to be supportive. I try to be encouraging. I always encourage them to try to talk to their parents first. If they can't do it verbally, I suggest that they write, because the children who write to me can obviously write about how they're feeling. And when I was doing the book, the hardest thing for me was how to put it together, to find some kind of narrative thread. And I really didn't know how to do that for a very long time. That's why it took 2.5 years. And with the advice of a friend and editor, I began to react to the letters, just react emotionally, to let the letters bring back my childhood and also my life as a parent. So I'm not really responding individually to the child, but to the kinds of feelings and the kinds of problems that the child is writing about, only when it has something to do with my life personally.
And in many instances, many of the problems that the children have are problems that you have had either yourself or family members or your own children. I think what you're saying, in effect, is your problems are not that much different from everybody else's.
That's right, yes. Children, of course, because they are often afraid to confide, even in a good friend, because you never know how long friendship is going to last when you're 9 or 10 years old, are sure that they're the only ones who have ever felt this way. And so I hope that reading these letters will show them that they're not alone.
I noticed that some adults also wrote to you, and you've included some of the letters. Why would an adult write to you?
Oh, I get a lot of letters from adults, and I've included very, very few in this book. Adults write to me about my adult novels for the same reason that the children write to me. It's a question of identifying with the characters, to share something in their own lives with me, because I've written about something that they reacted to very strongly, very emotionally. And then there's a whole other set of adults, parents who write very nice letters to thank me for getting their children to read. Obviously, that none of those letters are in this book. And there are a few adults sometimes who write and who are angry with me.
Well, it's certainly a book that shows your understanding and compassion for children, but I guess your writing throughout your career has also demonstrated that. It's strange that your work has produced such ire among certain educators and librarians. Has this tempered, has this leveled off at all?
I don't feel it coming from librarians or teachers or other educators. It seems to come now from fundamentalist groups. It comes from the religious right, who have very strong feelings about what their children should be able to read or know.
I was covering the International Pen Congress in January, and I attended one of the sessions, which was on censorship. And they listed the books that were censored by certain areas across the country, and they were the usual books. And I say, I can't remember exactly how it was phrased, but they cited, well, the usual ones, Kurt Vonnegut, Slaughterhouse-Five, there was this Bernard Malamud, there was so-and-so, so-and-so, and then and anything by Judy Blume. Or maybe everything by Judy Blume.
What I really hope this book will say to parents who are nervous about my books or any books, if they read the children's letters and they are somehow made more aware of what is on their kids' minds and how desperate these kids are to be able to talk to their parents about personal subjects, and that's not just sex. I mean, that's life, that's love and death and feelings and questions. I think they'll be less afraid, and I certainly hope so.
But there is a phrase called age appropriate, and I wonder if some of the attempts to remove your books, successfully or non-successfully, from certain school libraries results from the feeling that they just weren't appropriate for a certain age bracket. Have you run across that?
That's not, well, certainly people may say that, but that's not really true, because Forever, which is the only sexually explicit book for younger readers that I've ever written, is not usually the book that we're talking about. We are talking, when you're talking about removing books from school libraries, books like Blubber, which is about fifth graders, a book like Dini, which is about a 12-year-old girl. Anything that has to do with sexuality or that has a couple of four-letter words in it, and I mean a couple, that seems to be the book that has the problem.
How do you respond to the religious right?
I don't. What can I say? All I can say is you don't have the right to tell everyone's children what they can read. And really, there is no way that any parent can control a child's mind. So you may not want your children to think about certain things, but you can't control what they're going to think about. Maybe your children won't come to you with their questions if they know that this is a taboo subject at home, but they may try to find out in some other way.
I wonder if it's possible that because of the notoriety surrounding some of your books, that the attempts to ban them from certain school districts possibly has backfired, and because of this notoriety, the publicity, you probably have wound up reaching a wider audience than otherwise. Is that possible?
I really don't know. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't know, and even if I did, that's not the way I want to reach my audience.
Well, you have written a nonfiction book, Letters to Judy, which your kids wish they could tell you. You've written three adult books, isn't it? Two, that's right. I think it was Wifey was the first, and Smart Women was the second. But you're certainly not going to abandon the young people, some of whom have grown up with your books.
Never, never. Right now in my freezer, because I'm getting truly crazy, I think, 80 pages, a very, very, very rough 80 pages of a new book that I just can't wait to get back and finish, about three girls in seventh grade and friendship.
In the freezer? This must be on a hard disk.
No, it's not.
A floppy disk.
No, and a friend said to me, what are you going to do if the freezer defrosts and all the ink runs?
There you are. Yeah,
but I think we have a frost-free freezer.
Well, I do know writers who, they take when they write on their computer, they take their disk and put it in the refrigerator.
Well, I would be afraid to do that because I don't know what refrigeration does to disks, but I still write my first drafts, which are really my thinking drafts. At the typewriter and with lots and lots of pencils.
Judy Blume, thank you very much for coming back and talking to me. I enjoyed Letters to Judy, and I hope it has a lot of meaning to all of your fans. I know it will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.